Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, we got a great show for you today. We're going to check in with Gail Banks. He's going to give us an update on my Ford Lightning. We put it on the dyno, and he's going to tell us what some of the results were and some more. We're going to get into some more cool things as well. But before we get started, let me tell you about Continental. If you think of all the weird things that you find in cars, and I'm not just talking about French fries or melted crayons, things like live snakes, bizarre trinkets, stuff that makes you wonder about folks. Well, another thing that'll make you wonder, but certainly in a good way, are Continental belts. I bet you didn't know that they're OE and millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, BMW, VW, and GM vehicles. And Continental has launched their aftermarket multi-V belt with their OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series of belts. These are the serpentine belts that are in pretty much all the cars out there. Well, their belts are fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. It's Continental's OE Technology Series Multi-V belt. It's the belt with the OE pedigree. To get the full story, go to oetechnologyseries.com. All right, let's get started. Hey guys, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, with Bill Goldberg. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, partner. And you?
Doing all right. It's been things have been very, very busy. Busy with you, busy with me, and kind of running around. And oh man, we had some good shows that came up recently. Certainly, if you guys missed the CarCast that Adam and I did live in Portland. First of all, thanks to everybody who came out to that event. It must have been, I don't know, 500 people, something like that. I came out to that event at the World of Speed Museum, which is fantastic. We got to interview Mario Andretti, and he's great. And he's tiny. He's adorable. You want to hug him.
Yeah, coming from you.
Right? Yeah. He walked in, and I was like, I'm a giant.
He's hilarious, man. You know, such a Magnaflow guy throughout the years. And, you know, we've been able to talk to him. I can imagine it was just pretty cool sitting down and having that nice conversation.
I mean, you know, he came into the green room and we, you know, we chatted a bit first and he didn't want to sit. He was just animated and talking. He had just come right from the IndyCar event, doing the ride alongs in the tandem car and stuff. And then he was, he came out, and what a great, just huge, loud standing ovation for him. And, I wish we had 2 or 3 hours with him. We're going to have to do something again. But for him to make the haul right from the track directly to the museum and whatnot was great. So that was fun. I know what's going on right now is the Frankfurt Auto Show. We're going to have Alistair Weaver come back in. He's there now. He went to two big things recently, and that's why we're going to get him in. He went to the Porsche Taycan like premiere event, the debut of that, and then he's at the auto show.
We got to debrief him.
Yeah, and I think I think the plan is he's flying back soon. He's going to come in next week. He already texted me, and he's like, "We've got so much to talk about." But here's a few things interesting coming up. First of all, Lamborghini Scion. It's a hybrid supercar. It looks kind of badass. It's a way for the Volkswagen group to be experimental and offer this type of stuff in the form of a Lamborghini, and then maybe some of this technology trickles down to their other lineups of cars and Volkswagen and, you know, Porsche and Audi and all that stuff. But what's interesting is, first of all, it does look pretty cool. Very over the top, but very cool. I don't have the specs or the numbers on it yet. Alistair may be bringing that back, or Lamborghini will unveil it at some point. But this is what I thought, which was interesting. It doesn't have conventional batteries like a hybrid would. It has super capacitors, and the capacitors hold a charge for a short amount of time, and they're very fast reacting. They can expel that, for lack of a better term, they can expel that power very quickly. So the hybrid system
I hope
constantly
it charges real quickly.
Well, I don't know that you like plug it in. Yeah, but capacitors do get a charge quickly. So for those guys listening, because this is CarCast, the best example I could give you is in the high-end car audio world, a lot of guys will put some amplifiers and stuff in their car, and every time the bass hits, there's so much draw on that big amplifier, you'll start to see like the headlights of a car dim. Yeah, have you ever seen that? The headlights of a car will dim. So what you
have ever seen that? I've driven in said car. Yes.
Yeah. Right. So what you do is you get a capacitor. It's like the size of a can of Coke. You know, or a can of beer or whatever. And it goes in between the battery and the amp. And what it does is the battery is constantly charging that. And every time the bass hits, it pulls from that capacitor. You know, it pulls that charge from that capacitor, and the battery immediately zaps it again and gives it a little more juice. And that eliminates that problem. So now imagine that in a form of powering electric motors when the Lamborghini needs that power. You know, if you think about it, the bass in your car probably hits way more often than those capacitors need to be used in the car to power the electric motors. But anyway, that's their theory, is constantly charging.
So why'd they go that route?
It's much lighter. It's a much lighter weight system. And I think they can build these supercapacitors or put them in different places. And apparently the Lamborghini guys, the engineers over there, are all in on this. They love the idea of the supercapacitors versus putting 1,000 pounds of batteries underneath the car. We always think of racing cars as being lightweight. You know, Lotus had always said, add lightness to it. But as we start to build these super, these hypercars, these like Rimac and even Tesla to some extent, like you have to add all this weight with batteries. And they're saying, well, what if we don't have to add all that weight? What if we can do something that's a little bit lighter weight? It still has the electric motors and things like that, but they're trying to find a way to make it a little bit different. Hopefully we get some more information about that. That looks pretty interesting. Of course, Porsche Taycan, we'll get all the good specs. We talked about the numbers. We talked about the naming convention. We'll get into that. There's obviously no gas engine, so there's no turbo, but they're calling it a turbo and a Turbo S. Porsche is doing that across the lineup now, right? So we'll get into that. VW has their ID3, which is an electric car. It's the size of a Golf. It's going to be available in Europe in the spring for around 30,000 euros. And this is VW's entry-level all-electric vehicle, which could be a huge deal in Europe, especially. You know, fuel there is so expensive.
Smaller people.
They're all Mario Andretti. And then this is what was kind of interesting. I got the press packages on it today. Land Rover has brought back the Defender 90 and the Defender 110. They're going to have a four-door, I guess, kind of three-row, like a five-seat plus two-jump-seat version and maybe a two-door version. But the Land Rover Defender, I do like to bring back the Defender name. You know what it looks a little bit like is imagine the Land Rover Defender of yore and think of the Bronco from back in the day, and then think of like the silver kind of futuristic looking but kind of cool looking like a Bronco concept that was out a few years ago. Well, the Land Rover Defender looks like that. It looks like the Bronco concept, but the Defender concept. It'd be a modern day concept of that. It looks kind of interesting. I don't know if they're going to be doing sort of a convertible, like soft top Jeep-esque version like they did of the Defender. But the images they sent were a four-door and a two-door. And it starts.
Hopefully they got more power than they did originally.
Yeah, and they, I don't know that a lot of people are using their Land Rover for off-road, but that's what their legacy is built on. And they built more off-road capabilities into the new Defender than anything they've had in their lineup. Arguably, you know, you can make that jump if you're like, hey, I've been driving a Jeep for years, but, you know, maybe I have a little more income and I'm a little bit older and I want something a little bit nicer, but I still want to do in some of these excursions. I think the Defender could fit the bill. I don't think you're going to do King of the Hammers in it, but you know what I'm getting at.
But, you know, hey, that space is getting pretty attractive.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, all cool stuff. We're going to get Gail Banks on in a couple of minutes. I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about JB Weld. Then I think we're going to play a little bit of a game for these guys. For the JB Weld, you guys heard us talk about them before. We know you love them over here. For big or small projects at home or in the garage, you need something that lasts. And we're proud to have JB Weld Epoxy Adhesive here as a sponsor of CarCast. You keep JB Weld in your toolbox, kitchen drawer, craft room. It's good for metal, wood, plastic, pretty much anything. It's made in the USA. Pros and DIYers have trusted JB Weld for more than 50 years. We use it here. We use it at the shop. We got it in the garage over there. We got some at home. We keep it in the drawers all over the place over here. It's available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon, and more. JB Weld's the world's strongest bond. All right, let's do this.
You guys want to play the game?
Yeah, let's play. How's it going to work?
Break it down. You, Matt, and Goldberg on the line are going to have to guess, can JB Weld fix it?
Okay.
I have some car problems that people have on YouTube, and they try JB Weld, so we're going to see if JB Weld was able to help them out with their problems. This first guy.
All right, so you're going to show me a couple YouTube videos. Yeah. I'll quickly explain what it is, and we've got to figure out.
Yeah, I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you guys the setup here. This first guy, he was driving his slammed Integra.
Okay.
And here's what happened.
My radiator was so close to the ground because the car is slammed that it drug, and now I have a pinhole leak on the bottom of the radiator. And I would like to test out before I go buy and put another radiator on it.
All right. So wait, you're saying yes. He jumped right in. Yes. All right. So he's got a slammed Integra.
Throw it out there before anybody else.
Yeah. He's got a slammed Integra. He says pinhole. A leak. I say he tore a hole in the bottom, but I'm going to go, yeah, this sounds like something JB Weld can do. I'm sure they got enough product up there.
Let's find out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she's back running, guys. Might be time to call the dyno. Watch out.
Might be time to sell that hunk of crap.
Sounds like a washing machine.
It sounded terrible. At least the radiator works. Yeah, radiator all right, works. What else? What's
all
next?
All right, this next guy, he had a 8-horsepower cast iron engine, and had a crack in it. Can JB Weld fix it? Let's look.
So okay. Yeah. Little engine.
And I did put oil in it to see where the leaks was coming from, if there was multiple. And you can see this one, it's all puddled up right here.
All right, so this is some sort of like compressor pump, some sort of engine, like compressor engine. I don't know if it's even a... Well, it's oil filled, and I'm going to say it's like some sort of compressor pump. And I don't know. I'm looking at that crack. It's a cast iron thing. This is what JBL sort of cut their teeth on, right? Like fixing exhaust manifolds and stuff. I'm going to say yes. I'm with you, Bill. Yes.
Well, I'm just going to say that since they're our sponsor.
Bill's playing against the game.
Chances are.
I'm just saying, man. I'm going with the best odds.
All right. Well, let's see if Bill's strategy worked. Can JB Weld fix it?
So we're going to give it a shot and see if she starts up.
Oh, it was a generator. Gas generator.
Look at that.
There we go.
Yeah, it looks like it worked. He should attach that thing to something. It's just floating around in the grass.
Sounds better than that guy's car.
I know. It sounds better than the Acura.
All right, we have one more.
All right.
Matt, explain what happens in this one.
All right, here we go. Oh, my God. This guy pulled a wheel out of the trunk of his car, and he dropped it, and it cracked in half. His spare rim. First of all, if it cracked that easy, this guy should have absolutely... not use that thing.
I'm going to pull the curtain back a little bit. He sawed it in half. And,
yeah, it seemed like it was cut perfectly. All right. So he's going to try to JB weld this thing together?
Yeah, his spare tire together.
I'm going to say it works. I just don't think I'd be hitting the track with that thing.
Or the street.
Right.
All right, let's find out, because I'm guessing Bill says it works too. Here we go.
Oh, absolutely. That was just meant to get.
Oh my God, look at this car.
It's the front passenger tire there.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. He should use it to fix more stuff on his car.
And that was Will JB Weld Fix It.
All right, good.
All right, guys.
Yay. All right, let's move on. Let's get Gail Banks on the horn here. We took my Lightning truck over to Banks, put it on the dyno, and boy, is this exciting. The numbers that we came up with on this thing are...
Come on.
A little disappointing. Maybe
initially or the change or overall what?
Well, we put it up there, and Gail will get into some of the testing that he did on it. We're monitoring some stuff on there, but this is what we know. We know the motor is stock, except for the Powerdyne supercharger, which we're speculating would probably be generating more heat than it would horsepower. It generates a lot of heat, and there's no intercooler on it. It has to be doing something. We just didn't know what. It can't be eating horsepower. It is blowing air in there somehow. So we did some testing, Hello?
Hey.
Hello.
Gail on this end.
All right, Gail, how are you? You're on with me. It's Matt DeAndre, and we're on with Goldberg.
Hey.
How you doing, Gail?
Doing good, Bill. Thank you.
So we were just setting this up a little bit. We had my Lightning, took it over to you guys. And put it up on the dyno. First, we hooked up one of your iDash data monster gauges and put some sensors on the engine, because we felt like it would be important to bring in some data to find out what's going on, good, bad, or otherwise. So you guys put sensors on there to get ambient air temperature or air density, and then check the air coming into the air filter, going into the blower, coming out of the blower, and then into the engine, into the manifold. And I don't know if you had time to crunch any of the numbers to see what's going on there, but you and I were there for the dyno day, and needless to say, we were a bit disappointed in the dyno results, right?
Yeah.
So...
Well, are you guys basing it on, the stock horsepower of an American muscle car these days, or the baseline of and the reality of that truck?
We started with the truck. This is what we know. The truck is rated at 240 horsepower and 340 pound-feet of torque. And we know that in the real world, we've pulled some data online, and guys are getting about... 195 horsepower to the tires and about 270 pound-feet of torque to the tires. So 195, 270 are the baseline numbers. Where did we go from there, Gail?
Well, yeah, you 195 stock. Yeah. We didn't fare too well.
I am just trying to get you guys to give me an answer.
All right.
I've been on here 5 minutes.
I'm not going to bury the lead. Here it is. Here's the answer. We did a corrected horsepower of 203. We picked up a whopping 8 horsepower. And we put down 344 pound-feet of torque. So we picked up 75 pound-feet of torque, but 8 horsepower. We have a supercharger running, I don't know, 6 pounds of boost or something. They claim it was a 10-pound pulley, but it's not making the boost.
It's making 4.8 pounds of boost.
Okay, there it goes. So it's making less than 5 pounds of boost, and it adds 8 horsepower.
Yeah. The problem really, and it even moves the horsepower peak. The horsepower peak is supposed to be at 4,200 RPM. It's down about 1,000 RPM. It's around 3,200 RPM. Basically, this thing makes boost, but it also makes heat. So boost increases the air density and the horsepower, and heat takes the air density away and decreases the horsepower. There's no intercooler with this thing.
Right.
So we've got a situation where if you look at the ambient air density, it's pretty good. But there's the air intake to the blower is under the hood where the air is hotter than the outside air.
Right. We're running like an open element filter under the hood. That's just the way it came that way.
Yeah. And the hood, the filter was well used. But basically, if you inhale under hood air, it's like decreasing the boost. You've already got hot air, and now you're going to make it hotter, and there's no intercooler. So if you just look at the boost side of things, you expect way more than you're getting. But if you look at the air density side of things, that's the pounds of air per 1,000 cubic feet. Pounds per thousand controls horsepower.
Okay.
Boost is just part of figuring that out, but our iDash data monsters do that. So I'm looking at density improvement, and it's not very big. It's about 8 horsepower worth. But the problem is, as the engine speed goes up, the heat gets hotter and hotter coming out of the supercharger. So it gave you a torque boost, kind of mid-range, and it gave you a little bit more horsepower there. But then the horsepower dwindles off. In other words, it's kind of flatlined out to 4,500 RPM, which is where we cut it off. Suffice it to say, the thing would feel good around town because it's adding torque. But if you went drag racing, it wouldn't add much because that's all about horsepower.
Right. It's so, just a pig at the halfway down the track. It's just not doing anything anymore. It's not pulling.
Well,
it's not doing anything.
Yeah, I think about halfway down the track, your head has hit the windshield. It's probably going to decel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just not a good solution. So, but this is our baseline for the truck.
Right.
You know, we're nominally, what was it, 203 horsepower.
Yeah.
So where we're going to go from here is
nowhere but up.
Yeah.
So
this thing, the performance just running on the starter motor is almost as good. So if we hit, you know, it's the engine displacement is a 351.
Yeah.
So we're not even making 1 horsepower per cube.
Right. It's already embarrassing, Gail. You don't need to rub it in.
but hey, listen, dude. This isn't about embarrassing. You knew when you bought that truck that you weren't buying a demon by any stretch of the imagination. You were buying a cool piece, you know, that's a truck that's old school, and it was a limited production, and it's a cool piece.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. You can't. You know, you can't make it into something that it's not. You know, the beauty of it is the that Mr. Banks has it in his possession, and I'm sure that you guys are going to do nothing but make it perform better.
Right. That's the idea, is to give us a nice platform, something kind of fun to jump off of. Gail, so I'm curious why this turned into torque, and you know, we know why it's not horsepower, but the supercharger is doing something. It's blowing air into the engine, and when you add some fuel to that, we have to get some sort of result.
You need to define blowing air. If you're just making more pressure, but at the same time heating the air. The only measurement of blowing more air is more air density per cubic foot.
Right.
That's the only valid measurement. And a boost gauge doesn't tell you what's going on.
Right. The boost gauge is just a measure of back pressure.
The power curve itself tells you what's going on.
Yeah.
That little supercharger is pretty good for the pressure it's producing. It's pretty good up to the mid-range of its flow. And then it falls off the edge of a cliff.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on. You're getting a torque increase that's kind of respectable, but you're getting an embarrassing horsepower increase because more air mass that thing needs to flow, the worse it gets. So this is all about, we should have had, and we will have, that next time that truck is here, an air mass sensor.
Right.
So we'll know the mass flow.
Yeah.
You know. And basically, we'll have a lot more information than we had here.
Now, I have an air-to-air intercooler. I just happen to have an extra one in my storage of parts.
Pocket.
I'm going to, pretty much in my pocket from an old project. And I'm going to pull the grill off this truck and see if it's something that I could fit in there. It's a pretty good air-to-air intercooler from ProCharger. It's meant for one of their 800 or 900 horsepower deals, so it should be sufficient.
Sure.
Let me see if I can get it mounted in there. And I'm curious.
Let's plumb it in with the existing blower and see what happens.
That's what I'm wondering. Is should we try to plumb it in there just to see if this actually cures some problems?
Well, let's do two things.
Yeah.
Let's intercool this pup.
Okay.
And let's get cold air to the blower.
I got you. So we got to move that air filter. Yeah, we got to move that air filter someplace and then intercool it. And even if we just makeshift some tubing off the intercooler to make it work, it doesn't need to be permanent, right? This is just a temporary before and after, just to see, sort of to define the importance of intercooling to see if this makes a difference or not.
And I got to tell you guys, it's pretty amazing how important the intercooler is.
Now,
it can contribute as much air density as the turbo or the supercharger. In other words, as much horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, ambient air contributes some density, and then you add to that density with a blower, and then you add to that density some more. So you might have a third of the horsepower coming from the ambient air density, a third from the blower, and a third from the intercooler. You don't even have a freaking intercooler.
Right.
So, and you've got a blower that's heating the hell out of the air. So, yeah, this will be fun. You want to start with cold dense air to begin with. So,
is there a rule of thumb that you go by when you develop your systems? If you're kind of out in the desert. If you're on your dyno developing a Banks turbo system for a new Jeep, or you're doing a turbo upgrade or something, one of your kits, do you say, hey, to your team there, to your engineers. You say, let's develop a system. If it's 80 degrees outside temperature, we don't want more than 100 degrees blowing in the engine, like through intercooling or whatever. We know turbos, superchargers, and all that is going to increase. Like, what's the goal? Do you try to get it to be as close to ambient blowing into the motor, or is there some sort of acceptable range?
Yeah. So if the ambient temperature is 100 and the boost air temperature is 300, your cooling opportunity is 200 degrees.
Right.
The ambient air is cooling the intercooler. So I want 90% of that at a minimum. So that would mean 180 degrees, which would make my air into the engine 120.
120. Okay.
On a 100-degree day.
All right, so you're going for 90%.
There's a backside to this.
Okay.
And, of course, using the data monster, we can give you that number. It's called effectiveness.
Okay.
That temperature recovery number. When we put the intercooler in, we'll instrument the intercooler. The other part of it is what's the boost loss, the pressure drop, the boost pressure loss through the intercooler. That's the negative side of an intercooler. And I never want that to be...
Now, is that substantial?
Well, it shouldn't be, but a lot of them are.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't want it... Say I'm running 1,000 horsepower, 1,500 horsepower setup. I don't want that thing to be dropping the boost pressure, which might be 40, 50 PSI... 80, 90, 100 PSI. My rule of thumb is two pounds of boost.
Yeah.
That's it. So that takes away some of the gain that you get from dropping the temperature. Nobody's ever had an instrument to read intercooler efficiency. But I do, because I just, about 4 months ago, submitted 2 patents on reading that and controlling it. So, and I'll be showing it at SEMA. The point being, the intercooler is hugely important.
Yeah.
And nobody has a gauge to measure what it does. Everybody has a freaking boost gauge.
But right.
That's half-assed. It doesn't measure all of what the supercharging is doing. So your truck from 1995, you know, we've got a, what is that, 24 years ago?
Yeah.
We got a 24-year-old truck. So it's going to have 2020 instrumentation in it. And this is going to be a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah,
especially when that engine gets bigger.
Right, when we build that engine and go with the bigger supercharger and the big displacement, we're going to have some. We'll be able to see. I mean, Gail and I were talking, and you know, we'd like to do 3 times the horsepower. We want to put at least 3 times the power down to the tires when we're done with this. And to your point about boost is a measurement of that pressure that's in your manifold, for example.
But it's not a measure of all of it.
Right.
It's not measuring ambient pressure, and ambient pressure is part of the total force pushing in the air into the cylinder, and the boost gauge doesn't measure it.
It doesn't.
Now, in Europe, they measure boost pressure or manifold pressure in bar. And we can do that and do that here. If you measure manifold pressure as absolute pressure, that starts at a perfect vacuum. And when the piston goes down the boron in the intake stroke, it's moving so damn fast, it's forming an almost perfect vacuum in the cylinder.
Yeah.
How does an unblown engine work? How does the air get? It has no boost pressure. How the hell does it run?
Right.
Mother Nature is forcing it in.
Right.
Boost gauge doesn't include Mother Nature's force. Therefore, boost gauges are half-assed.
Right. So right now,
at best, they're half-assed.
Our atmospheric pressure is 14.7 pounds. So
yeah.
One bar is 14.7. That's our atmospheric pressure at sea level.
Exactly, and you've got that going in.
So that's basically a baseline going into it. And then the boost gauge that we know in all of our cars is just a measurement of the pressure wherever your gauge is plugged into, usually your intake manifold. But think of it this way. If you were running a car and you had a supercharger or turbo, and it kept peaking at 10 pounds of boost, 10 PSI of boost. But if you ported that intake manifold or the cylinder heads on your vehicle, you might start to see 8 pounds of boost, but with more power because you've reduced that back pressure, which is pushing into that.
If your supercharger is belt-driven, you'd see exactly that.
Yeah.
But if you've got a turbocharger and it's density driven, then you wouldn't see that. It would keep the manifold air density the same. And what would change is the end cylinder air density. The difference between manifold air density and cylinder air density is the volumetric efficiency of the cylinder heads.
Yeah. Anyway, it's good stuff. It's interesting stuff. I can't wait to get into it a little bit more. I'm glad we've got.
I'm going to be bringing the tech. So your listeners who get into the tech,
yeah,
the true gearheads out there, I got it, guys. We'll be bringing it.
I want to post that ambient air temp and that air filter temp and that blower temp, and then the guys at Banks are also putting together a video, so we'll get you some of that information as well. We'll post a video with this, and we are data logging all this information. We have the Banks iDash data monster in there, and you can put in the little memory card,
SD card,
that micro SD card. Now, there's a couple ways. There's a couple ways you guys can do this. Is one. If you have an old school vehicle like mine, you put in your own sensors and you daisy chain them into the iDash gauge, and it works.
It's on a data bus, a CAN bus.
But if you have an OBD2 vehicle, specifically the 2008s and newer, you can plug this right into to your OBD2 system and put the gauge in there. So, for example, Bill, on one of your you're getting your Hellcat all modded up and the bigger blower and stuff. You can
How
put the gauge.
How is that correct
in.
For Bill? I just
right.
That's so correct. That's so spot on, guys.
The demon. Oh man, yeah. Wait to hear about all of these things. But
that wasn't nice.
All right, so guys, go to bankspower.com and check out all the things that they're doing there in the iDash gauge. We'll get some videos posted for you as well. Gail, thank you so much. We're going to let you go so we can start wrapping some things up here, and then we will check in again and get some more of that data. And if I get an intercooler mounted, well, I'd love to come back and visit you guys. And
oh yeah, we're doing it.
I appreciate that. Thanks, Gail.
Yeah, this is fun, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Yes, sir.
All right. Take care.
All right. And before we move on, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Dodge. There's never been a better time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle because now we're offering Dodge Power Dollars, which means for each horsepower, you'll get $10 off. So if you think about this, if you get a Dodge Challenger, SRT, Hellcat, Red Eye, $10 off per horsepower, that's $7,970 off.
See dealers for details. Take retail delivery from dealer stock by September 30, 2019. Based on 2019 Ward's midsize sport utility vehicle segment, excludes other FCA US LLC vehicles. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
All right.
This gets paid by the second.
He's meant to be like the really fast, chatty guy, like going through there. Bill, what's going on with you get any
updates? Really want to segue from your 200 horsepower truck to my 977 horsepower to the tire Hellcat?
No, I want to segue from our Dodge ad to your Dodge Hellcat.
I like how you slid that in there.
Yeah.
So, man, you
saw the dyno. You had it up on the dyno, right? This is the Challenger Hellcat that already had the wide body conversion on it, and then the engine builder is doing the big Whipple.
Yeah, Speedcore did the carbon fiber and Gearhead Fabrications. Our buddy Mario down there in Florida is doing all the engine massaging, and he also has my charger motor as mm-hmm. we speak, you know, set the turbos up for that. But yeah, we put a big giant Whipple on this thing, and it's back in Wisconsin at Speedcore right now, getting the calipers and the supercharger dipped in my new camouflage to present at SEMA. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, you know, we got a do a little flashy thing for it for seeing it. But as far as performance-wise, man, you saw that video. It pulled 977, I think, a little over 1,200 to the crank. So about 808 torque. So short throw shifter in there, a couple other little goodies, but no cage on it yet until after SEMA. So I'm going to have to be really careful. I'm taking it to Vegas next Thursday. You know, so I need a little seat time on the puppy. Got a little more substantial horsepower bump than the last time I had it. So
yeah. Listen, now's not the time to show off. You know what I'm saying? Like, get a feel for it and do good things, especially after all the news we've been hearing about Kevin Hart. And I'm glad to hear he's doing better. If you guys follow the Rocket post updates of his buddy Kevin Hart, sad to hear about the accident and the people got injured. Sad to hear about the car, a Speedcore car. But like we've said before, you know, that car can be, you could build another one. We're not too worried about the car. I mean, it's sad, but hopefully everybody's going to come out 100% on that deal. So yeah, you go out, you be careful, and like I'm with you on this. Put the roll cage in there, get that car beefed up, and take it easy as you start to get a feel for that thing.
Yeah, you know, it's all about finding. Hey, my philosophy in being able to handle a car is you have to take it somewhere where it's legal to take it to its limits. It's safe to take it to its limits. And then you work backwards from there. If you don't know its limits, you don't know the crazy trouble you can get in.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I plan to do with that car. And, you know, I'm going to do with it what I've done all the rest. You know, get as much seat time as possible and then not do anything stupid in it, man.
That's
it's all
it.
About going out and respecting the horsepower.
That's right. I respect my 203 horsepower.
Or respecting your lack of horsepower. Dude, like I said, man. Like I said, you didn't pick up a super stock dart, right? So you knew what you were getting into.
Right.
And it's a damn cool piece. You see what it's opened up since you've had the vehicle, whether it be on the show or whether it be social media wise or whether it be with Gail.
Yeah.
You know, he sounds excited. I mean, all the old school guys love it. Look at the attention you've gotten out of it, much more so than any of your other vehicles. I can almost guarantee it.
Gail is so great. All of his team is great. They're fantastic. They're just absorbing all the data on this. I'm curious to see where it's going to go. There was something happening on the dyno that we didn't get it into. I'll tell you in a second. First, let me tell you guys about Castrol Edge. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. If you're running a boosted engine like us, you're going to want this. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. And Castrol Edge, with fluid titanium, transforms under pressure to keep metal apart and fight power-robbing friction to unlock exhilarating performance, especially on an older engine like mine. It's 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown per the Kurt Orban test in the 5W30 VIS grade. Formula Edge has always exceeded the toughest industry standards, but their new and improved formula incorporates the latest technology to make it transform to be the strongest when pressure is highest. Check out Castrol Edge. So that actually brings up a good point. I'm going to bring the truck back, and they put it on the dyno for several more runs just to do the data logging, and they were figuring out that it was starting to misfire, and it could be a combination of things. As one, maybe the plugs are fouling, the ignition system, possibly the cap or rotor, anything in their basic tune-up setup was starting to foul, and also probably the heat starting to be generated more and more. Already it was generating heat, and then it was probably suffering from heat soak and starting to ping a little bit. So we need to check the timing. I need to pull the plugs and maybe pull the cap and rotor off that thing and see kind of where we are with that. And possibly change the oil as well. Why not? I don't know when it was done. And kind of take it from there. And it'll be interesting to see if we intercool it and bring it back, have we eliminated the misfire issue or any of the pinging issues that were going with it. So I think that'll be kind of interesting to go back. I think the intercooler is going to make all the difference in the world. It wouldn't surprise me if this went from an 8-horsepower jump to a 70 or 80 horsepower jump just by the two things that Gail said, putting the intercooler on there and then moving the open element air filter to someplace cool, into a fender well or the front of the, you know, front of the grill or something out of the engine compartment. Because if it's 100 degrees outside out where he is, it's got to be 150 under the hood of that thing, and then it's compressing that air. The air filter's got to be sucking in like 150, 140 degrees and then compressing it and heating it and putting it into the motor. It was funny when we walked away. We're like, God, I can't believe it's only 8 horsepower. But it is generating some torque. Imagine building it's about that density that he's talking about. Imagine building a 427 small block, okay? And some guys in racing do this when they have a horsepower cap in road racing, and or maybe even autocross or something. If there's a horsepower cap, you can build a large displacement engine and then start to plug it up with let's say a smaller throttle body or some sort of inlet tube, and that would be the restrictor, basically like a restrictor plate, but it's just a throttle body opening, and that starts to limit the horsepower, but you can still build a lot of torque. That's why you're going with the big displacement engine. So in theory, we have a little bit of that. We have a 351 with a supercharger that we're jamming air into, but the heat being generated is almost like pinching off that intake manifold, so it's not getting enough air in it, and it's destroying the density of that air. But anyway, it's pretty interesting stuff. It'll be good to see where it goes from there. Before we wrap up, let me tell you about Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off your dry cleaning, you pick up some milk. Now you can add saving hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list, and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. If you just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Bill's got some things coming up. If you guys haven't been watching, check out Knife or Death, the show on History Channel. What is it, season 3?
Season 3, Thursday night.
Season 3.
Back-to-back episodes. And you know what, man? I wasn't really happy with this series, you know, the first year. And it was missing a lot of things. And I got to be honest with you, man, the production on this one and the gaps that they filled make season 3 pretty palatable, and I'm enjoying it, man. So hopefully people are also.
That's awesome. I'm glad you are liking it, and hopefully people watching it are liking it. If you want to see, you want to go meet Bill, you want to go meet him live in a few days from now on
Vegas!
Friday. Vegas? Is it Friday? Saturday? What day is it?
Friday, 3:30, man. Vegas Convention Center with Limitless for the
Olympia Expo.
the Olympia Expo is going on.
Olympia Expo. This is the big health and fitness and bodybuilding thing that's going on down there. The Limitless booth. I think you can go to Limitless EX, is it? Limitless EX? Let's see if that's what it is. It's like limitlessex.com, I think. And
these guys are pretty cool, man. It's they put together. They're right at the entrance of the convention center, mm-hmm. and they've got unbeknownst to me, the guy's a big car guy. So he's got four exotics sitting in the front, and then we got a number of people doing autographs throughout the weekend. And man, GSP and Cody No Love and a couple of WWE guys and girls and
some
Anderson
some
Silva and
UFC
Nick Diaz
guys,
and a bunch of guys.
So it's limitlesssx.com, and it's booth 1201. It's Friday, September 13th. It's in Vegas. If you guys want to go to that event, I assume you can just get tickets and go and.
It's not like SEMA. I thought it was, but it's everything's open to the public. The convention's open to the public, so get tickets at the door and come on down.
Chuck Liddell will be out there in the same booth, Limitless booth, right?
Liddell and Shamrock, man. I'm telling you,
Saint Pierre.
It's a cast of characters, man.
It's gonna be Anderson Silva, yeah, it's gonna be.
Yep, it's gonna be a lot of fun. We're all going to Andy Amos for dinner Friday, and we're gonna have some fun.
So go out there and check that out, and I hopefully will have some updates. I don't know about next week, but I dropped off the truck over at Galpin Autosports. Our guys, our friends over there, are working on it. They're doing the DJM lowering kit. We are taking out that terrible shift kit. We're going to put a whole new valve body in that transmission and get it to shift normally.
Okay, what'd you decide on the wheels?
Okay, we're going to do that right now. I'll tell you what we're going to do on the wheels. We put it out there. Do I go aftermarket? Do I do something? And I sat down with Brad Fanshaw. He owns Bond Speed Wheels. He's my co-host on Shift and Steer. And I said, what do you think? And also, everybody's responses were fantastic. Thanks for everybody who responded on social media. And the numbers came in on to keep a little bit of the legacy of the truck, of the look. So it's got the stock 17s that are on there now, and it's got kind of that swoosh thing, and then they're not directional. And there's no real lip to it. So I sat down with Brad and he said he's going to sketch it up for us. Our plan is to custom make a set of 18-inch rims. They're going to be two-piece billet wheels. They're going to have a modern version play on the original design. Of course, they're going to be directional. And we're going to stagger them. Although we may run a 295 tire all the way around, I want a little bit more lip in the back, a little more dish. So we're going to do 18 nines in the front, 18 tens in the back. And this will allow me to do two things, Bill, which you may have some advice on, is I can run the 295, 45 18s, run the Nittos on all four corners, or I can run the 295, 45, 18 Nitto NT05s in the front and the 305, 35, 18 drag radials in the back. And with my whopping 203 horsepower, I don't need it now. But when we step up this bad boy to 700 horsepower, that might be the way to go. How do you like running on the drag radials?
they have various versions.
Yeah.
You know, they get the road course. I mean, hey, man, for the street, it's not the tire to run.
Okay.
I run it on my cars, on my Challengers, because they're all special. I drive them for special occasion.
Right.
I don't drive one of them every day.
Right. You're going to, you're often going to an event or showing it or something and whatnot. Yeah. So
absolutely. But they're, I think it's the NT555.
Yeah.
I got to look at them, but there is no question that they have a capable tire right above that drag radial.
Yeah.
That gives you a little bit of the best of both worlds. And as far as staggering them or keeping them all the way, the same size all the way around, it's just going to be based upon feel on that truck. I mean, I like the feel of having them the same size all the way around.
Yeah.
But it's just going to be how that truck's, how the weight's distributed and how it feels and suspension wise. You know, it's all in the feel of the driver. So.
Well,
one I could just give you a little advice on, but you're going to have to choose on your own.
No, that's good. It's good advice. It's definitely something we're going to have to. I'm going to check out when I get some sketches or something of the wheels. I'll post them up, and you guys can check them out. Like I said, these guys are lowering it. We're moving the battery to the back. We're going to make a custom battery tray over by the rear bumper-ish area that'll move some weight to the back and take some weight off the nose. I'm rebuilding the rear. The rear end, I'm putting in an Eaton TrueTrack limited slip differential. We're doing custom 31 spline axles. I'm changing the gearing in it a little bit. Some cool things like that. I'm trying to think of what else those guys are doing to it. They're going to do the rear end. They're going to do the suspension. Oh, the steering. This could be the game changer on steering. We're taking out the original steering box, which is a 17-to-1 ratio. And we picked up a Flaming River quick ratio box. It's not designed for the truck. It's got different mounting points. But it is a 12-to-1 ratio. So we got some custom pieces, some universal pieces from Flaming River. We're trying to do our own custom a steering shaft, possibly eliminate the rag joint to get the slop out of there, go to a quick ratio box, and this thing should start to handle and feel like any good autocross or sports car. You know,
I would definitely go with the same size tires all the way around.
Yeah, and to your point on that is it's going to come down to how we can balance this truck. The rear trucks are always, you know, the pickup trucks are always very light in the back and heavy in the front. And we might have to compensate it with tire size. We could probably do something with sway bar. So we're playing around with it a little bit to see what we come up with. But anyway, we're running out of time here. I'll just tell you guys one more time a little bit about Dodge. Maybe you'll peel out with a powerful Dodge Charger or share your adventure with friends in a roomy 7-passenger Durango. It's the most powerful SUV in its class. Check it out now. Dodge Power Dollars. Hit the dealers. Dodge dealers everywhere. All right, guys. Let's wrap things up. Thanks so much for listening. You can follow me. I'm at Motorator on pretty much all social media. You can follow Goldberg. He's Goldberg and Goldberg Garage on Twitter and Goldberg95, Goldberg's Garage on Instagram. Follow him. See the dyno videos and the updates of all the cool front projects that we're doing. That's pretty much it. Thanks, guys. Until next time, keep the air and the spare and the bag and the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Carcast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on carcastshow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. Carcast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to CarCast. Of course, we're brought to you by our friends at Dodge, so visit your local Dodge dealer where we bring you performance, technology, and great deals. There's never been a better time to join the Brotherhood of Muscle because now we're offering Dodge Power Dollars, which means for each horsepower, you'll get $10 off. So put some rubber on the pavement in a Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye and get $7,970 off. Maybe you'll peel out with a powerful Dodge Charger or share your adventure with friends in the roomy 7-passenger Durango. It's the most powerful SUV in its class. So hurry into your local Dodge dealer and take advantage of Dodge Power Dollars.
See dealer for details. Take retail delivery from dealer stock by September 30, 2019, based on 2019 Ward's midsize sports utility vehicle segment. Excludes other FCA US LLC vehicles. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.